For tuning in, would you go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. This morning we're going to cover verses 5 through 7. But can you believe it? Two more weeks and we'll be finished with the book of Peter, which we started about a year and a half ago. And also, the NFL season is kicking off this Sunday. And you already know my MO. I got some Dallas Cowboys slander just for you guys. And I got it locked, loaded, and ready to go. So here are top three that I found. First is this. What do the Dallas Cowboys and the UPS, United States Postal Office, what do they have in common? They both don't deliver on Sundays. All right. Number two, how do Dallas Cowboys fans change the light bulb? They don't. They keep talking about how good the old one was. And lastly, number three, why is it considered safe to date a girl who is a Cowboys fan? She's used to not getting a ring. Speaking of which, I ran across this meme on Reddit. It's J-Lo. Rings since 1997. The Cowboys, zero. Jennifer Lawrence has had five. Anyways, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, as we talk about cultivating humility. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, we'll read from the ESV version. It says this, "Likewise, you who are young, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the almighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." This is the word of the Lord, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you because more than anything, we need your grace. Lord, your word says, in you we live, we move, we come into being. All that we have, all that we are, all that we hope to be is because of your mercies. So Lord, this morning, we approach you with humility, O Lord, because we need you. We need to hear a fresh word from the Lord. We need you, Lord, to convince and persuade us of your truth, that we are not at the center of the universe, that we are not God, you are. And so Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We ask, Lord God, that you'll give us ears to hear, give us a heart to receive your word, give us a mind to understand the plain truth of Scripture. And Lord, most importantly, give us hands and feet, Lord, to live out in obedience by your grace to what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. What if I told you that there's a secret to unlocking the favor of God in all of your relationships? What if I told you that there is a secret sauce, an X factor that you can enjoy in all of your relationships with God vertically and with people horizontally? Parents, there is a key to unlocking the wall and the gate to your children's hearts. Kids, children, there's a way that you can actually enjoy to have a genuine relationship with your parents. This morning, whether you are an employee, there's a way that you can lead up. Okay? Because it's easy to lead down, but there's a way that you could lead up to your bosses and to your supervisors, and that you could relate to them, that will release the favor of God in your life. All you bosses and supervisors here, there's a way that you can serve and lead your employees that will not only disarm any pretenses that people might have, but it will actually open up their hearts to your employees, to those whom you serve. Most importantly, in your vertical relationship with God, there is a path of experiencing the grace of God and the favor of God in your life. And the secret sauce, the X factor, the key to unlocking favor in all of our relationships, both with God and with people, and also with ourselves, is humility. Humility. And here's the big idea and the main point of today's message. Would you type this in to your notes? Cultivate a heart of humility in all of your relationships and so experience the grace of God. Cultivate a heart of humility in all of your relationships. And when you do that, you will experience the grace and the favor of God. In our text from 1 Peter chapter 5, the context of this last week, remember, is that it says, all of you elders, shepherd the people of God. It's to pastors, right? And then in verse 4, it says, hey, those of you who are younger. But in verse 5 here, it talks about, it says, hey, all of you. He directs his audience to be all-inclusive, not just elders, not just young, those of you who are younger, not just pastors, but not just women and men, but he says, all of you. And it says, clothe yourselves with humility because God opposes the proud. Now, this is quoted two more times in the Bible, once in Proverbs and the other ones in James. And the idea of humility here, it's quoted three times in 1 Peter. It says, clothe yourselves with humility in your relationships with one another. And then in verse 5b, it says, God gives grace to the humble. And later on, it says, humble yourselves under the hand of the Almighty God. And it says here, clothe yourselves or humble yourselves. Now, in grammatically, in Greek grammar, there's tense, there's voice, and there's mood. Voice here, it speaks of this aspect of there's active voice, middle voice, and passive voice. So, for example, the active, the subject does the action of the verb. For example, I cut my kid's hair. Okay. There's passive, which means the subject receives the action of the verb, okay? Meaning, I got a haircut from the barber, okay? And then thirdly is this middle voice, which means the subject performs the verb to his self or to herself. Meaning, like what I did before I made this video, is I cut my own hair. So this word of this command here of humble yourselves and clothe yourselves, this is in the middle voice, which means this is something that you do to yourself. Because listen, church, very carefully, humility can be learned in two ways. The first is that you do it to yourself. You know what? I'm going to humble myself before God. I'm going to lower myself. I'm going to put myself lower. I'm going to consider others more important than myself, which is the way of wisdom. You do it to yourself. But honestly, you can learn humility the second way, which is God will humble you. And it's not so much wisdom, that is pain. If we don't humble ourselves and do it to ourselves, if we don't clothe ourselves with humility, God will not only humble you, but sometimes he will humiliate you, where now it's not a matter of wisdom, it's a matter of pain. But all this to say is that we need to cultivate a heart of humility in all of our relationships, because when we do that, we can experience the grace of God in our lives. And so I want to talk about two things. First and foremost is the pitfall of pride. Would you write that in? Pitfall of pride, which is that God opposes the proud. Now, when I talk about pitfall, what do I mean? A pitfall is basically a trap. Specifically, like, look at the words, a pit, and you fall into the pit, right? It's a trap. It's a pit flimsily covered or camouflaged, and it's used to capture animals, right? It's also like a hidden or not easily recognized danger or difficulty. And let me tell you something this morning, church. Pride, it is a trap. It is a pitfall for your own destruction. Because James 4:6 says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God, he will oppose. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he will suppress. He will push down those who are proud, but he gives grace to those who are humble. Now, I haven't been to many football games. I think once or twice a year I go to a Kaiser homecoming game. But, you know, football games, especially in the mainland or like in California or Texas, when they would have a kickoff, like, for example, not only kickoff, but when they would kick like a field goal or an extra point, it all depends on which way the wind blows, right? Because if you have like a 10-yard or a 20-yard field goal and you kick that field goal and you are against the wind, you kick it, you kick the ball and you're trying to make it across the goalpost. But if you're against the wind, you kick it up and the wind, you know, 40, 30, 40, 50, 60 miles an hour, it will push you back 30 to 40 yards. But if you kick with the wind, all you gotta do, you don't gotta kick it out, you just gotta kick it up, and the wind will carry that into a field goal or an extra point. Now, it's the same thing with pride and humility. If you're proud before God, if you are not accountable to God or to anybody, if you think you're above the law, if I'm going to age myself here, if you think you're all that in a bag of chips, and if you think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, God will oppose. God will suppress. God will kind of push you down, and he will humble you. But this morning, if you humble yourself, if you have the wisdom to humble yourself, you do it to yourself. Remember, it's a middle voice verb. If you humble yourself, God will give you grace upon grace upon grace. And a person who is humble is irresistible to God, but a person who is proud, God will resist you. God will oppose you. Have you ever wondered, maybe sometimes we try to advance in our career, we try to push forward with our relationships. Maybe it's a business venture, maybe it's in our careers, maybe it's a relationship, but it seems like there's so much resistance. It seems like there's so much opposition. When there's pride in our hearts, in my life and in your life, we become entitled and we become demanding. When we do that, God resists that because we think that we're like God. We think that we are more than we really are. So pride, it brings vertical opposition in our relationships with God. Secondly, the reason why pride is a pitfall is because the proud treat people poorly. Would you write that in? The proud treat people poorly. Let's look at Luke chapter 18, verse 9. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous And what happens when we trust in ourselves, that we think we are so righteous and we think we are better than we actually are, and treated others with contempt. So who did Jesus direct this story to? Those who trusted themselves, and because they trusted in themselves that they were righteous, they were better than everybody else, what happened? They treated others with contempt. Let's look at Luke 18. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Verse 13, but the tax collector, standing far off, he would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he beat his chest or his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself, what happens? You will be humbled. But the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the kingdom dynamics again, right? The kingdom of opposites. That if you exalt yourself, what happens? You will be humbled. But if you humble yourself, take on the posture of humility, what happens? You will be exalted in the kingdom. You know, Proverbs 13:10 says that pride, it leads to conflict. You know, I'll never forget one of the most humiliating and heart-wrenching things in my life was when I was in high school and I had just gotten saved. And you would think that because of what God saved me from and delivered me from, that I would be more gracious and forgiving and humble. And you know, I made a radical decision to follow Christ, and I did look down on others who were like, man, why are you so lukewarm, man? Like, let go of your sin, follow Jesus. And I remember this one other teenager that went to a youth group, and you know, we were singing our worship songs, and I was, you know, she goes to show where my heart was at. And I was just kind of looking around because I'm worshiping. I wanted to see if other people were worshiping too. And this young lady went, one of my friend's sister went to youth group. And I know what she had kind of done. And I know that she was not living rightly. And she was crying and weeping before God. And I just kind of looked down on her with contempt. Like, yeah, you better cry. You better feel sorry. You know what you did this week. And what an ugly, ugly, ugly heart. When we think we're better than others, when there's pride, you're going to treat people poorly. You think you're like God. You think you're better than others. You become the judge, the jury, and the executioner all at the same time. And Jesus says, man, this sinner, this tax collector, the worst of the worst, he wouldn't even look up to heaven. He would just look down. And God, Jesus says, this tax collector, he went home before God righteously. So pride is a pitfall, and it will mess and disjoint your horizontal relationship with people. And thirdly, would you write this in, that pride, it leads to your own downfall. Proverbs 16 verse 18 says, pride, it goes before destruction, and haughtiness before a fall. Pride, it would lead to self-destruction, not only in your relationship with God, not only in your relationship, horizontal relationship with people, because you're going to treat them poorly and treat people with contempt,
but it is a self-inflicting, self-damaging destruction when you have pride in your heart. I mean, scripture says pride, it goes before what? Destruction. So there's a point of destruction, but what happens before that? Pride. It's like an appetizer. It's like a poo-poo's before the main meal. Pride, it goes before destruction, and haughtiness before a fall. Like, think about how many athletes, politicians, musicians, artists, CEOs who have let their egos go unchecked and have made an absolute mess of their lives. Think about how many marriages have been broken because of pride, of not willing to forgive, of not willing to let go. Think of how many families have been splintered because of pride. Think about how many relationships have been severed because of pride, of not willing to love and to overlook and not have grace. Think about how many businesses have gone down the tubes because people thinking that they are above the law. You know, we tell our kids all the time, it's like, man, you guys got to have self-awareness. Like, if you just apologize instead of shifting the blame, if you just have the humility to say, you know what, it's my bad, it's my fault, it would save you so much heartache. It would save you from this lecture right now if you just said, have the self-awareness to, like, you know, I'm so sorry, that's my bad, it's my fault. And not shift the blame, not justify yourself, not explain why you did this, but just like, oh, sorry. Just have that self-awareness. You know, I used to think that a sign of maturity for my kids was like my teenage boys, before they would leave, like, oh man, I better put on deodorant. But now that I think about it, I think maturity is just having that self-awareness to apologize first, to take accountability or take responsibility for your own actions and for your own wrongdoing. Because, listen to me, church, if we don't guard our hearts, Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of life. If we don't guard our hearts from pride, there's vertical opposition. God will oppose. He will resist you. There is horizontal deterioration. Your relationships will go sour. Your relationships will deteriorate with your family, with your coworkers, with your neighbors, with those in your community. It will deteriorate if you have pride. But also, there is a inward or a centripetal destruction. There will be a self-inflicting wound. God is not mocked. A man sows what he reaps. If a man sows, if a person plants pride, destruction will come before destruction follows the pride. And so let's go to our next bullet point, and it is this, you guys, that humility is a requirement. Being humble before God, it is not an accessory, it is not optional, it is indispensable. Humility is a requirement from God. Look at Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before God. And I love that. Walk. The word, the Hebrew word there is halak. It talks about Enoch, how he walked with God, and that God was so pleased with Enoch that he's one of the three men in the Bible who did not taste death. But God's like, oh man, Enoch walked humbly before me. I got to take him. I'm not even going to let him taste death. I'm going to bring him up to heaven. And humility is a requirement. You know what God requires of you? Seek justice, which means do the right thing. Love mercy, which is be kind. And it says to walk humbly before God. These are the three requirements. You know, every day, not every day, but almost every day, this is one of our prayer points with our kids. Lord, I pray for as we drive to school, we buckle up on our way to school. We drop off the high schoolers, Judah and Noah first, then we drop off Ezzy. Now, Lord, I pray that today these boys would seek justice, Lord, that they would love mercy, but they would walk humbly before you. And this is a requirement from God. And so with that, the word says that we are to clothe ourselves with humility. And I have two application points, but time is short. We'll just do one. And if you want to hear the second one, go to in-person service. But here's the first action point. It's don't let your heart keep pace with your success. Don't let your heart keep pace with your success. And for that, we'll turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16. This is about King Uzziah. But when he, King Uzziah, became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. You guys catch that? Don't let your heart keep pace with your success. In other words, it is completely possible to have a circle of influence go larger and larger. It is very possible for you and me to be prosperous and the Lord to increase our blessing and to go larger and larger, but yet still have a humble heart. You know, King Uzziah, he became king at 16 years old. And he reigned from 16 to 52 years old. So for 36 years, Uzziah reigned as the king of Israel. Maybe aside from King David or Solomon, he was probably the third most successful and prosperous king in the history of Israel. In verse 5 in the 2 Chronicles, it says that he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord made him prosper. King Uzziah, he restored Judah. He united the kingdoms. He defeated the Philistines. He built cities. He built towers. He developed an army of skilled soldiers. And he became more successful. And the Lord blessed him. But King Uzziah, he allowed his heart to catch up to his success. And when he thought he was above the law, he tried to do something that was only required for priests. Only priests were allowed to burn incense before God. And Uzziah's like, you know, I'm a king, I can do whatever, I've done this before. He burned incense before God. He was confronted and he knew he wasn't supposed to do that, but he allowed his success to catch up to his heart, or he allowed his heart to catch up to his success. And because of that, he burned incense before God. And he was confronted by the priest Azariah. And after that, he developed leprosy instantly. And he died alone, secluded. And hear me out, church. We should be successful. We should experience prosperity. We should grow. We should be able to experience the blessing of God in our life. And our circle of influence and our sphere of influence and success should go bigger and bigger. But the challenge here is don't allow your heart to keep pace with your success. We should be successful here, but our hearts and our humility is down here. And so, as we wrap this up, could I encourage you to be like King David? And King David in 2 Samuel 7:18, we'll close with this. Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord God. And he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far?" And this is a heart after, this is a man after God's own heart. It's like, "Lord, who am I?" And if you think about your own life, "Who am I, Lord, and what is my house that you've blessed me with this far?" You know, when I think about this, who am I? Like, I was born in a tiny island, small island in the Philippines with no running water, no electricity. You know what I played with when I was a kid? We used to have these matchboxes. We didn't have Nintendo DS. We didn't have PlayStation. We didn't have computers. We didn't have skateboards or bikes. What I had growing up was we'd go and find spiders. We'd separate them in matchboxes and we'd go on a stick, and my neighbor, our neighbor, they would fight. We'd fight spiders, and that was our fun. That was our entertainment. And for the Lord to bring me this far, it's like, "Lord, you brought me this far. Thank you. Who am I and who is my house that you blessed me?" Amen. So may I encourage you, humble yourself before God. Because you could get, we all need to be humble, and we could learn it two ways. Either we do it to ourselves, or God would have to do it for us. And when we, if there's no other reason this morning than for you to be humble, it's because God will give you grace. I need grace. You need grace. And the only way that we receive grace, this favor, unmerited favor from God, is if we humble ourselves. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray. So, Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that you are meek and humble in spirit. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, for your people as we receive your word, that we would humble ourselves before you and therefore receive grace. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us, you guys. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord give you peace. Go with God, and God will go with you. Have an amazing week. Take care.